gather together in his name, that he is in the midst of us, whether we feel his manifested presence externally or not. The teaching of Scripture that he would make his abode in us, we understand this to be through the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is the same Spirit. So we are filled with God when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yet there may be times when we don't necessarily feel in the moment the manifestation or expression even of his power in some way in our lives. We just know it to be true. Amen? But I would have to say that there is something very special in the moments and in the times when God decides to manifest himself in external and supernatural, above the realm of the natural, power and presence in our situations and where we are. There's times when I have believed that I was speaking under supernatural manifestation. In other words, I felt like the utterance that I was yielding to was, in truth, the voice of the Lord. But there's times when you just got to have the faith to believe that that's what's happening. It's not been but a few times. But I remember a time in particular when I was in Maryland. I had felt like there was a theme that I could not get away from for 3 to 4 months. And the theme was God wanting us to know him. And I was given opportunity in a meeting there, asked to speak, and did, and bared my soul to my ability. And just as I finished, there was a tongues and interpretation that came forth. And when the man began to express the interpretation, he said, "Don't you want to know me?" It set me back in my seat. Because there's always this lingering question. Well, I think I got it. I think I'm giving it. I thank God that I'm delivering it. But when God says, "I'm in the house, I'm here," to the tune that he says, "That's my voice that is talking to you." And then he manifests himself in some special supernatural way and practically reiterates through another individual's the word that you just spoke. It marked me because of the season of prayer that went on for over an hour after that and the things that transpired and were spoken out of Bishop Wright's mouth. And I wonder, boy, that doesn't happen very often. But it's a powerful thing to us and for us when it does. I had a similar situation repeat itself just last week over in Yakima. Now, in the book of Psalms, chapter 91, at verse 1, I'd like us to read. Before I do, I want to make a statement that I felt like the Spirit of the Lord impressed on me this morning. We, you, are not alone. I can't imagine the thoughts and the feelings of an individual in a tub holding sheetrock over their heads, doing all they can to protect their children and themselves, of the feeling of being, where are you? Or the question that would permeate one's mind, is he here? Does he know? Am I all by myself? And how long is this going to last? And how long must I endure this immediate circumstance? And the feeling of being all alone, because we see with the natural eye, we hear with natural ears, and when we don't see and we don't hear and we don't feel, we could begin to think, oh my Lord, I am about to die, and nobody even knows. I think that is possible. I have the visual of her reaching, the mother reaching up and grabbing her daughter. I have that visual. And then she thought, she said she grabbed the mattress, but it was a piece of sheetrock. And you know how impossible it is to hold on to a piece of sheetrock when just a breeze blows by to her. Former sheetrockers. Never mind a tornado wind whipping across the top of it. Was this like a supersonic bionic woman holding on to this piece of sheetrock? I've got to wonder that maybe just outside the rim of the bathtub was the angel of the Lord with his foot upon a piece of sheetrock. Amen. Because the Bible says he gives his angels charge over us. We are not alone. Psalms 91, reading it, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You are not alone. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, the place where I live, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Nothing is unseen of God. Nothing is allowable except at his hand and according to his purposes. This is why we can trust him. When things would appear as though we've been unshielded and hurt comes my way, I can know by the word of the Lord, he is watching me right now. He sees me in the moment. And even though I don't understand the temporal, he knows the eternal. He knows the future. He knows my destiny. Our life is but for a moment. It is just a wisp of vapor. But he looks to the eternal. He sees me in the eternal. I can't answer altogether why it is that he would have orchestrated the steps of my life that would take me from this state to that state and through times of drunkenness and through times of rioting and bring me to a place of then driving all the way across the country. Only to meet an individual who held the keys to the kingdom and could share with me repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, that my sins would be remitted, and then baptize me with the Holy Ghost, making me an heir to salvation. Why me? Oh, Lord, haven't you ever asked yourself the question? When you look to other loved ones and friends and coworkers, people you've met along the way, some good, some not as good, and ask yourself the question, who am I that thou art mindful of me? Who am I that the Son of Man would visit me and give to me these truths that I could respond to them in a step of obedience that would bring unto me an inheritance that I could not even know about? Hebrews chapter 1 at verse 10. You are not alone. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I don't know when the beginning is. I don't know when, if it was when you came through the birth canal into that baby delivery room that's somewhere in the oracles of heaven, and one step out of the line and said, that's mine. I'm going now. and stepped into that room and said, I'm here. Oh, not to us, but to a realm that we're only slightly aware of. The scripture bears out the interactivity between many hosts. But oh, there's one, according to the word of God, whether he saw it down the road or whether it was when I went in the waters of baptism, I don't know. But he gave an angel charge.
Amen.
You can look back through your own life and you ask the question, how was it that I didn't OD that night? And how was it that I escaped such a tragic accident? And why wasn't it me that died when others were taken? One of our dear brothers here has told me this story more than once. Traveling in a band. They were in a van that rolled over on a freeway and all the band was taken. They lost their lives except him. And so he has journeyed through life asking himself the question, what is my purpose here? Why is it that they were taken and I was not? I'll tell you why. Because one day as he was sitting here, he jumped up when everybody was quiet and began to praise and worship God in response to his beckoning call to him. Because somewhere out along a freeway, when others could not be helped, he was helped and rescued from the loss of his life. We are not alone. Would you worship the Lord with me right now? Come on, he is fixing to bring a manifestation of his glory and his power in among us and in and through your life. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, our trust is in you, our faith is in you. Jesus' name. The book of Daniel at chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Old Testament. It's easy to go back into the Old Testament. Read about the, you know, seas being divided, bread falling out of heaven for 40 years, ground opening up, swallowing ungrateful people. It's easy to fathom, to believe when we go back into the Old Testament. The manifestation, the presence of the angelic realm. I love to read this encounter. But this is in the Old Testament. It's like a world away from me. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. You know, sometimes you just gotta go until you feel like it's time to stop. You know, whether it's a 3-day or it's a 7-day, maybe it's just until. Not necessarily until something happens, but just until you have a release, that's enough. I don't know that Daniel was approaching God in the way of appealing to him for something rather than just in joining with him in communion because he felt the Lord drawing him away. Separate yourself unto me. You ever felt that before in your life? The rest are going out to play football. They're going on a bicycle ride. They're going hiking. They're going camping. They're going to the mall. And at first you were in agreement, but the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with you and say, come away with me. Commune with me. Come spend time. Just you and me. Next verse. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. And they that fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone. Saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me. You know, touch brings sensation. There is an acknowledgement. It wasn't just a thought. It just wasn't just a feeling. But the description was as though it was the hand of a man, which he describes, touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. He said unto me, this man figure, this hand that touched me, that set me upon my, begin to talk to me. Daniel, this human, a man greatly beloved. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, spirit realm, withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. I'm not the greatest student of the word or of prophecies or visions. But when I read this, it leads me to believe that this man that had came to him, of course, was an angel of the Lord. And this angel of the Lord had been participating in spiritual warfare of some kind on some level with a prince or a spiritual leader, prince over Persia. Another spirit. And so in the battle, whatever is taking place, Michael, an angel of high-ranking authority, came and began to help him to defeat against the spirit realm. It's my persuasion that the involvement of the spirit realm was taking precedent and influence over the natural governing realm, the kings of Persia. And so now this ministering spirit was there and staying with these authorities and these kings. We look around at our world and we see the things that are happening. I don't know why, but I went back and started to do a study about Egypt today, this morning, and about Mubarak and all of these leaders. And I wonder that some of these men are only held in authority until God says, now the change is coming. And that he, throughout our world, see, we think it's all just handled in a vote. And when there's an uprising against a leader, and they can't seem to topple him, and they can't seem to topple him, and they can't seem to topple him, I am persuaded that there are forces at work that keep things in its present state until the Lord says, time to turn the page. And no man can hold his place in governing authority in this world by his will or his political faction. It's far greater than that. And we're coming down to the last wire in our world during this dispensation. Those four angels in the river Euphrates will be loosed. You'll think it was an atomic bomb. You'll think it was a nuclear explosion. You'll think it was one of those rocks that fall out of the sky. Yeah. You know, they're now promoting, we've got to prepare for these meteors to come out of the sky because of that meteor that came down in Russia. And so they are actually working at, believe this or not, you think they got this out of the movies? They're building a ship to go up and capture a meteor so they can bring it back. Oh, yeah, I saw pictures of it. Kind of like a big old balloon thing that's going to wrap around it and suck it in and then bring it back to the earth so they can study it, so they can stop meteors from hitting the earth. They're not going to stop wormwood. We're not alone. I'm not talking about aliens. We're not alone. That gives me a confidence. It gives me a confidence. Why do you live the way you do? I've got a confidence. Why do you insist on some of the things? I got to tell you, I watched a video this morning. It was a TBN show with Irvin Baxter and Tim LaHaye. And there was some other charismatic dude in the middle of them. And they were setting this up as though it was a boxing match. And they were asking the questions about their beliefs in the future and all this. And Irving Baxter, everything he said, he used the word. He used the scripture and he quoted scripture after scripture. And the other guys would say, well, I feel this and I feel that and I feel that. And he said, well, I believe according to the word of God. And it says this, this, and this. And I was loving it because every time Tim LaHaye would say something, there would be about three in the audience. And when Irvin Baxter would finish a line of scripture citing truth after truth after truth, you would hear the roar of the crowd. I thought, man, I'm with him. But it was all about end times, which led me, as I waited on the Lord concerning this, we are not alone. And he is our very present help. And this is why we lead the lives that we do. This is why we stand upon doctrines of truth that have been delivered unto us. This is why we hold dearly the keys to the kingdom of heaven that were given to Peter. And to the rest of the apostles. And to you. Somehow, fate, destiny, had it that you would be given an opportunity. I don't know who we are. That God is so mindful that the Son of Man would visit us the way that he has. And his expressed desire for us to know him, not just him to know us, but for us to know him, that through the expression of the manifested Son of God, that holy thing that was born of a virgin, and that the words that he expressed, the attitude that he showed, was showing us the mind and the attitude of God, that we would know him. Oh, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, the Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. I don't know what 15 says. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. I want to go to Book of Acts, the 12th chapter. You see, it's not a stretch. Because from Sunday school, vacation Bible school, on up, teachers told me the stories of the great flood, of Moses leading the people out, of them crossing Jordan, and you know, the land being filled with frogs, lice, mice, the water being turned to blood. Well, that's a little stretch. But because it's in the Old Testament, I can just accept these are the things that transpired. Let's read something in the church age. Let's read something in our age. The dispensation that we are a part of. Now, about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, persecution. You got to remember, I don't know the time span, maybe you do. It's not many years back that these old boys were just throwing nets out in the water. You know, they lived in a nice small town and things were great and they were loving life and they were throwing nets out. Matter of fact, their life was a little bit better. They had a business. You know, dad was passing it on, and So they were fishermen, and they were just enjoying life and everything. You know, lots of plans for the future. They were thinking about building a house up on the rocks, you know. And change came to their life when a man walked by one day and began to speak to them. And their response was to leave their nets and follow him. And now, in just a short amount of time, because of their pursuit and following the Lord, this Son of God that had came, but then left. Oh, he returned again. Made his abode in them. Filled them with the Holy Ghost. And told them to go and preach his word. And they did, and they got in trouble. And they are in jail. And the rulers think, man, let's have a little fun here. Herod the king stretched out his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Whoa. Holy cow. What happened? What would you do? You know, we gave up everything, and we come out here, and, you know, they just killed James. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. There was feast time. So Herod didn't do it yet, so he was going to wait just a little bit. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth for the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night. You think he doesn't know the time of your situation? You think he's unaware of when unemployment ran out? You think he's somehow oblivious to the tragedies and the terrors that could be just a bathroom away? That same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. You know, fishermen, they're tough. You got to really tie them up. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, we're not alone. James was a martyr unto God. It wasn't a mistake. The angel wasn't late. Nothing would befall them that the Lord didn't know it. This is why we can have a confidence, I would say, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of trials or persecutions. Angel of the Lord came upon him. Light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. He raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." His chains fell off from his hands. Trust God. The chains fell off of him. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." But what about? He went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he was having a sleeping walk, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first ward, and then past the second ward, inner prison, next outer prison, and then, you know, out of solitary into the, I don't know. And they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. This is magic. No, this is spiritual. This is New Testament. Only happens to the people of the Bible. Well, let me fill you in. You are the people of the Bible. You who receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the angels desire to look into this experience that we have received, the empowerment in our own lives. The gate opened of its own accord, and they went out and passed through one street. Forthwith, angel departed from him. See you, Pete. I have other orders. Well, who are you? Are you the blood bought? Is that just a song? Am I the redeemed? I can know by my knowledge of the word, never mind how I feel. I am a part and will be a part of the bride of Christ that he is going to return for. It matters little the things that shall befall around me. That's where I'm headed. Would you stand with me? Tragedy strikes. If I'm in the redeemed, it's out of this and into that. I know it'll be terrible reading the papers and the obituaries, and they'll have a funeral and all that stuff, and people will cry because we miss our loved ones. But for the redeemed, it's, I'm out of here. No, we don't say that. But that's the confidence that we live with. Otherwise, it shall not befall me. 1,000 on thy side, 10,000 on my right hand, but nothing out of his perfect purpose and will. And he'll spare some, and he'll allow some to be taken. We don't put our confidence in our strength nor the circumstances of life. Our confidence has got to be in him. I can't tell you how many terrible airplane flights have been on. One time, the mayor's wife was sitting across the aisle. We only talked long enough to find that out. And all of a sudden, there was a bump. I don't mean like one of these. I mean, it was a, and I'm thinking, that should be breaking things. And then there was another one. All talking ceased. Everybody was looking forward. Palms were on the seat, arms holding. You know, checking the seatbelt. The next thing that happened, the drink cart was in between us. The drink cart went up and hit the ceiling. Do you know how heavy that thing is? Well, it wasn't jumping. The plane was dropping. Drinks were everywhere. Drinks around the house. The stewardess was laying on the floor holding on for her dear life. This is in a commercial airliner. Well, it subsided, but nobody talked until we got on the ground in Yakima. I just felt ornery. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it. But you see, there were those staying on the plane going to Pasco. And so as I exited, I turned. You're staying on this thing? Man, they didn't say a word back. They were just holding on for dear life. The stewardess got on the megaphone and said, "That's why we tell you to keep your seatbelt on." I can't tell you how many of those kinds of flights. My wife, she gets on a plane, she lays hand on it right on the doorway. She says, "In Jesus' name," every time I watch her. You got to entrust your life and the lives of our loved ones into the hands of God. Doesn't this give you a greater peace? Just the knowing, just having the understanding. So many things are out of our control.
Yes, amen.
We're not alone. Say it with me. We are not alone. And we thank God for it.
Altar's open if you want to come and avail yourself before the Lord.